God, we thank you that you are a good shepherd and you lead us beside quiet waters in the green pastures and you give rest to our soul. And so, God, we thank you that you're not scared by our sin or our shame. And we thank you that we can receive forgiveness and hope and joy, that we can receive a new start every day. That you are always waiting for us with arms wide open. We thank you for that. And we praise you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Happy Mother's Day. It's great to have you here this morning. It's all our moms and to-be moms and grandmothers and people that have been like moms to us that may not be our blood relative but have been like moms. Today we're talking about six gifts that you can give your mom. Six gifts for moms, and we're going to be looking at not just one passage. We're going to be looking at about six different scriptures, so if you don't want to be going back and forth in your Bible, the scriptures will be up here on the screen. You can jot them down if you like to. But six gifts that you can give mom, not only on Mother's Day, but every day. And the first one is this, is that moms need to be honored. Moms need to be honored. That's probably the most obvious and the easiest when you begin looking at the scriptures that moms need to be honored. Exodus 20:12 says this, "Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." Some translations say, "Honor your father and mother that you may have a long, good life." I think that was the very first verse that our kids memorized when they were old enough to talk. Honor your father and mother that you may have a long, good life. Honoring our mother, and you're thinking, some of you may be going, okay, I've heard this over and over and over, honor my mother. Honor your mother is really simple, but it's so important because it's not like a suggestion from God. It's a command from God. And it's and what he's saying is this, your mom brought you into the world. She loves you. She sacrifices for you. She thinks about you day and night. She would do anything for you. There's never a time in your life that your mom's not going to stop, is going to stop caring about you. She always wants to make sure that you're okay. And so because of that, respect her. Because of that, be obedient to her. Because of that, be respectful in your speech to her. Because of that, serve her, love her, see her as the place that God chose her to have you. God chose my mom to have me. It wasn't by accident, right? So he wants me to honor my mom and my dad. And the way you do that is to respect them and to love them and to serve them. And if your mom's not here, the way you honor her is you honor her memory with your life, right? If you don't have a good relationship with your mom, and that's true for some of us, if you don't have a good relationship with your mom, you honor her by giving gratitude to God that she brought you into the world. That she brought you into the world. You honor her in that way by being grateful to God that you're here. We honor with our words and our actions. The last half of that verse is really interesting because it says, honor your father and mother so that you may have a long, good life, so that you may live long in the land. You know what that says? It's a promise to us as children that if we honor, and for some of us, we're in stages of life where we're beginning to enter into stages where we take care of our parents, right? And that is a huge honor to your parents. It's difficult. I've heard so many of your stories about what that looks like. But you know what? You are never going to regret a day of that. And God is going to bless you for that. Honor your father and mother so that you may live a long, good life. What's God saying? You honor your father and mother, and I'm going to bless you. You honor your father and your mother, and I'm going to take care of you. That's what he's saying. Second is this. What's a gift that you can give to your mom on Mother's Day and every day is to honor her. And second is moms need appreciation. They need appreciation. Now, today is going to be really easy, you know. I mean, it's almost like you don't get credit for today, right? Because there's a day set aside for it. It's Mother's Day. But your mom needs to be appreciated. So in just a minute, what I'm going to do is I'm not going to make all the moms stand at once, okay? What we're going to do is we're going to stand and we're going to appreciate you, okay? So it's your day off. You can stay where you are. And we're going to stand and we're going to appreciate you. Now, when we do that, maybe you heard me say this before. When you do that, there's several ways you can appreciate somebody, all right? One is a golf clap. You know, it's real polite. You know, you do that in a real formal church or if you're on the golf course, You know, it's got to be at an acceptable level, all right? Then there's the kind of clap you give people, you know, when people, somebody gives a speech, you know, or a kid performs on stage, you kind of give them a clap, you know, you're really excited for them. There's all kinds of levels of really celebrating. You know, you keep going on up the ladder, there's the Neyland Stadium level of celebrating. You know, and then there is the highest level of celebrating, which where I come from in the mountains of Western North Carolina is called the Redneck Hootie Hoo celebration level. That's like out the top level, because that just pretty much describes my hometown, Redneck Hootie Hoo. And so that's how we're going to celebrate our moms today. So if you would, all the moms stay seated, everybody else stand up. Turn and look at a mom today and let's celebrate them together, okay? All right. All right. Yes. Yes, acceptable in Spruce Pine, North Carolina. Acceptable as a Redneck Hootie Hoo. You can be seated. That was wonderful. Now, I am going to ask some moms to stand up because we want to recognize you for just a minute and just celebrate kind of the accomplishments that you've made. If you're a mom here today and you have been a mom for 10 years or less, okay, that means your kids are 10 years old or younger. You've been a mom 10 years or less. Would you stand up? All right. All right, there's quite a bit of you. Now, these are the ladies who are doing great to just be awake right now, okay? I mean, if they make it through the service awake, it's going to be great. We love you, and we know what your job is like, and it's hard, and it's physically demanding, and we want to come alongside you as a church and support you. Let's celebrate these ladies this morning. You can be seated. All right. If you're a mom here this morning and you have been a mom between 11 and 25 years, okay? You've been a mom between 11 and 25 years. That's the age range that your kids are in, maybe. Between 11 and 25 years, would you stand? All right? Great. Awesome. Wow. Lots of moms. These are the ladies that you know how the president gives out a Purple Heart of Valor? They have survived the teenage years. They have survived early 20s, many of them. And some of them maybe have kids that are a little bit younger. But they have encountered some of the most, not physically, but emotionally and mentally and spiritually challenging years. And let's celebrate these moms this morning. You can be seated. You deserve all of the appreciation we can give you. Now, if you've been a mom between 26 and 50, I know that's a big range, but we can't be here all day. If you are a mom between 26 year and 50 years, somewhere in that range, would you stand this morning between 26 and 50? These ladies have entered into a stage where, man, their kids are paying their own cell phone bill now, right? And maybe their own insurance, or some of them, maybe, you know, soon to be, hopefully. Some of these ladies have grandchildren. Some of them will soon be grandparents. We love you and appreciate you and the wisdom and the stability and the example that you set for younger moms and what you do for our church. Cannot be measured. You're invaluable. We love you. Let's celebrate these ladies this morning. All right, if you have been a mom for, I'm going to start at 50, okay? I know I ended with 50 on the last one, but if you've been a mom 50 years or more, would you stand? 50 years or more. If you've been a mom 50 years or more. Amen. Amen. That's awesome. We love you. We love you and appreciate you. Now, how can you show appreciation today and every day? We do it here this morning by clapping and recognizing. But the way we do that, you're going to do it in cards today. You know, you can do it in cards throughout the year. You're going to do it maybe in candy today. You can do it in candy throughout the year. And on behalf of moms, let me say this. You can do it in cards, you can do it in candy, but they're entirely okay if you do it in cash. So bless your moms. There's a way that you can appreciate her. You can do it in multiple ways, but the main thing is that we appreciate her. Philippians 1:3 says this: I thank my God every time I remember you. We need to thank our moms, and we need to thank God for our moms. Would you bow your head just a moment? We've had a couple of prayers this morning, but I just want to pray for our moms and say thank you to God for the ladies that are here this morning. Let's bow our heads and pray together. God, we thank you for our moms. Thank you for putting them in our lives. For our moms, for the women who served as moms in our lives. For those who have lost moms, please make this a day of gratitude and remembering. For those who've had difficult relationships with their mom, I pray for comfort and hope would be found in you. And for single moms, God, we thank you for their faithfulness and love for you. And for those who hope to one day be moms, please prepare them now to be a woman that honors you and puts you first. We thank you for the hundreds of things moms do to make a difference in our lives. Thank you for their faith, their encouragement, their prayers, and their love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We can honor our moms. We can appreciate our moms. The third thing we can do is that we need to realize, and this is the best way I know to say this, is that moms need a life. And I mean that in the most positive way. I want you to hear the way I'm saying that this morning. My intention with that is this, is that you know this. When you were growing up, you know this with your own kids. Kids have got 1,000 things to do. They've got places to be. They've got school. They've got homework. They've got extracurricular activities. And there's practices and rehearsals and recitals and games. And there's things to attend. And there's places to go. And there's friendships. And there's sleepovers. And there's meals to be cooked and clothes to be bought and fees to be paid and all those things that you do and all the things that kids are involved in. And what's easy to happen, and most moms could probably give testimony to this, is that kids are involved in a whole lot of things. And because of that, moms are involved in all the things that kids are involved in, as it should be, because they're wanting to be the best mom. They're wanting to love us in the best way and love you in the best way. But what can happen sometimes in the middle of that is that all of a sudden, moms sometimes can feel like that they've almost lost their identity in who they are because of the busyness, because of the craziness, because of the good intentions of wanting to do what's right for their kids. And so without even realizing it, our life has become something else, and the gifts that you have maybe are not being used in the way that you wanted them to be used. And maybe it's just too busy of a season. There was a time in our life where we had a 5, a 3, and a 1-year-old. You know, all the energy, what physical energy was in our kids, as it should have been. But remembering that for moms, moms need a life too, outside of kids. And almost every mom in here would say, I love my kids. My kids are my kids and my spouse are my top priorities. But moms are, there's going to be a day where kids leave, and moms are going to want to be able to use their gifts to make a difference, to have their own friendships, to do the things that they feel God, that God's leading them to do. Listen to what John 10:10 says. I think it's the last part of the verse. I've come, Jesus says, I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. Or I've come that they may have life and have it abundantly. So what we want to do to be a blessing to our moms is to help our moms have an abundant life. Now, you're like me. Most of the time, if you read Scripture or hear Scripture taught or preached on, you're thinking, how does that apply to me? Well, this morning, let's think about how does that apply to mom? Jesus says, I've come that they might have life and have it abundantly. How can I help my mom? How can I help the mom to my kids have an abundant life? Now, for one really, how do we do that? One really easy way is to give them a break. And sometimes that can be a very small break, you know? I mean, sometimes that can be, you know what? I've got the kids. I just want you to go upstairs. I just want you to take a nap, watch TV, read a book, go away from that. You do whatever you need to do. But I've got the kids. Give mom a break if it's an hour, you know? It may be that you give mom a night out, but you give mom a break. If you were to ask most men What is it that you feel like you could do a better job of at home? Most men are going to say, I could do a better job of helping my wife. I could do a better job of spending time with the kids or helping the kids. It's going to be somewhere in there. Most men are going to say that. If you ask most moms who have kids at home, if you ask most moms, what do you need? Most moms are going to say, and if you said, and don't feel guilty about being honest, because moms are the worst at feeling guilty about doing anything for themselves. So, mom, if you could be, if what do you need the most, and just be completely honest, nobody's going to judge you. Most moms, or a lot of moms, are going to say this: I could just use a break, you know, just occasionally, just a little bit. It's not that, and you feel guilty saying it because you feel like, oh my goodness, do I love my children less? You don't love your children any less, you know. I mean, I can remember when our kids were that age, that 5, 3, 1, 6, 4, 2, you know, those ages right in there, and. Penny stayed at home until our kids were all in school. And so she was like, I love my kids. I love being with my kids. But, you know, I have to use the bathroom sometimes. And I shut the door. And I've been with them for hours. And in the 5 minutes that I'm in there, little fingers come up under the door. You know, Mom, can we eat? You know. Of course, because it's been an hour and a half since I fed you last, you know. And so it's just like I could just use a little break, you know, just a little break. So isn't it amazing that the way that God has wired us intuitively as men, as dads, as fathers, that we know that probably the thing we need to do is help our wife out more and help out with the kids more. And the thing that moms need the most is a little bit of, isn't it amazing how that just kind of comes together? You know, it's just a great recipe. There's a solution for that, right? Now, the other thing that's true is in terms of helping moms live the abundant life, it can happen from family. It can happen from friends. It can happen from church. And the way that you do that is this, is that you love the women around you. You're attentive enough, the moms around you, that when you see something not going well, in marriage, with children, with job, when you see big black rings under their eyes, you know? We live in a culture that's so individualistic and we value privacy so much that in some ways it handcuffs us in being the body of Christ that we need to be with each other. What do I mean by that? That when we put a supreme value on individualism and we put a supreme value on privacy, it prevents us from stepping into each other's lives. So if we see someone struggling, how easy is it to say, are you okay? Are you okay? How are you doing? Do you know that just pausing for just a minute to ask someone if they're okay? I heard somebody say the other day that he had been having a terrible week. He had had a horrible week. This was just like a couple months ago. He had been around work associates, you know, the whole week. He had been around family members, friendships, people in the community the whole week. It was at the end of that week, one guy that he works with said, you know what, you don't seem yourself. How are you doing? And he said it was like, oh, permission for me to go. I've been carrying this. Maybe it's just, I just need to process this with somebody. For you to be able to do that with a mom, sometimes it's just going, are you okay? How are things going? And that you're willing to stand and listen. Or maybe call them up on the phone. Or maybe take them to coffee. That's how we come alongside. And for some of us as dads, for the way that we change, the way that we make that happen is we have to maybe change our patterns, the way we operate at home. You know, we come in, we flop down, we get a remote, we hear it's time to eat, we eat, we come back, we fall asleep. You know, we just got to kind of change our patterns a little bit and come home and pray on the way home. Pray in the car as you leave work and that drive on the way home. God, help me to be the husband and the father that I need to be when I get home, to embrace my kids, to embrace my family, to listen to what's going on, to be intentional, to really ask about the day and be ready to listen. So we change our patterns. We change our selfishness, you know, because we can all be selfish and we can all fall into selfishness every day. But as kids, as teenagers, as dads, when it comes to our moms, when it comes to the mother of our children, to just recognize that, you know what goes on in this home when it comes to the organization of it, when it comes to the cleanliness of it, when it comes to our kids, when it comes to the bills, when it comes to the dishes, when it comes to the clothes, when it comes to the fees, when it comes to the events. We're all in this together, the whole family. It's not that just mom does it all and she just kind of tells us what to do. But that we're going to step in with mom. Listen, the three words that mom loves to hear, that's an easy one, right? Right? Mom loves to hear it. There's never a time that mom's not going to want to hear it from her children. I love you. The four words that mom loves to hear, how can I help? There's no four better words you'll ever ask your mom than how can I help? And if you just make a habit of doing that on a daily basis, you're going to be the biggest encourager. You're going to show your mom more appreciation when you say, how can I help? Because you know what? I can guarantee you she's carrying more than what is probably possible for one person to carry. Raising children is hard work. It's hard work at every stage. Moms need not only honor, and moms need appreciation, and moms need a life, but third, moms need wisdom. James 1:5 says this, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Now, why would I say God, moms need wisdom? If you raise kids, you know how much wisdom you need. Because there's messages that you're trying to give your kids and culture is giving a different message. You're trying to figure out as a mom, you're trying to figure out what to say yes to and what to say no to and when to hold on and when to let go and when to and how to exercise discipline and when not to exercise discipline and how to give advice and what's the right advice and what does God want us to do and what does God not want us to do. And there's a lot of wisdom involved in that, right? Raising kids is one of the greatest honors and one of the greatest challenges that there is, right? And so moms are involved in every stage of that development, okay? So from the time that you're born, from the time that I'm born, and while you're growing up, I mean, moms bring us into the world, they grow us up for the world, they send us out into the world, and they prepare us for the next world. And they're involved in every stage of that. The physical, the emotional, the spiritual, everything. They wake up thinking about their children. They go to bed praying for their children. They think about their children all day long. And your mom, just if you don't know this already, just so you'll be patient with her in the future, she's never going to feel like you're warm enough. And she's never going to feel like you're fed enough, okay? So when you're, mom, I'm 50 years old, okay? My mom is 69 years old. If my mom comes over this fall and it's chilly outside and I walk outside, she's going to say, do you need something on your head? Don't you need something on your head? Inside, I'm like, I'm 50. But you know what I do? You may be right. I'll grab something, you know? And teenagers, that's a clue. Just grab it, throw it in the car. You know what I'm saying? It'll like solve a lot of conflict in your house. You know, are you cold? Are you fed? You know, they're always going to be caring for you. When you look in the scriptures, one of the greatest examples of a mom is Mary. And I think it's just beautiful when we look through the New Testament. Where do we see Mary? I mean, man, at Christmas we talk a lot about Mary, right? She's there at the birth. I mean, we see so much about her heart, so much about her love for the Lord. The angel comes and talks to her. Then she offers this praise, this exclamation about just how good God is and how much God is worthy to be worshipped. She goes and spends time with her cousin Elizabeth. They celebrate the fact that they're both pregnant. Jesus comes into the world. We see Mary again when Jesus is 12. What's Mary doing? She's caring for Jesus. Jesus is exercising his own personality and his own authority. And he stayed back and her and Joseph are looking for Jesus because they went to Jerusalem to worship and now they're on the way back and Jesus stayed back in Jerusalem and they didn't know it and they're looking for him. And so you see this mother that loves her son, cares for her son, doesn't know where her son is and is wigging out. And then when do we see Mary again? We see Mary when Jesus is 30. Jesus' first miracle at a wedding. And Mary comes, says Jesus' mother comes to Jesus and says, and this is before Jesus has started, he hasn't gone public yet, right? I mean, he hasn't called disciples yet. This is before disciples. Mary comes to Jesus and she goes, hey, the wedding party has run out of wine. And I just think this scripture, and I may be totally misreading this, and some people may call me a heretic, but when I read that, and I hear what Jesus' response is, and he says to her, woman, my time has not yet come. And I'm sure that was respectful, but what he's saying is, you know, it's not my time to reveal that I'm the Messiah. And she's coming in, and she goes, and then and then she looks at the servants, because I'm sure she probably looked at him and went, and then she looks at the servants, she goes, you do whatever he says. And then she walks away. And then Jesus does exactly what his mama asked him to do. And he turns water, even though he told her, it's not my time's not yet come. After he wasn't going to turn water into wine while she was standing there. He waited until she left. And then he did what she asked him to do. And so then he turned water into wine, and it was the best wine of the whole feast. And so you see Jesus and his mother in this relationship that they have. And then Jesus, his mother, supported him throughout his ministry. And then you see her at the cross. And you see Jesus is standing there, and he says to John, take care of her. Jesus is making sure that his mom is taken care of. And there's just this relationship that you see with Mary. This God chose her to bear his son. What an incredible example. Listen, that's the kind of mom you have. She never stops thinking about you. She never stops worrying about you. She never stops caring for you and loving you. She needs wisdom. Five is this. Moms need communication. What do I mean by that? Two things. Moms, these are two things that are very important for moms. Moms love to hear what you have to say. And the second thing is this, is that moms need to be heard. Okay? Now, we are used to speaking when we want to speak. If we're in the mood to talk, we talk. If we're not in the mood to talk, we don't talk. Men, husbands, right? Teenagers, absolutely. If you want to talk, you talk. If you don't want to talk, you don't talk. Moms always want to hear what you have to say. They're always present. They're always asking. Sometimes you feel like they ask too much. But what we have to kind of clue in on as teenagers and husbands is that, you know, a complete conversation doesn't end with us saying, fine. How was work? Fine. How was practice? Fine. How was the game? Fine. How was school? Fine. That doesn't complete a conversation, although in our minds we feel like it does. That we can offer just, and listen, your moms are going to be sensitive. They know that 20 questions is too much. They know that when you're not in the mood to talk, and they're not going to drill you. But moms need communication. Because here's the deal. When your mom, who loves you and who made sure that you got to school and had lunch and prepared and paid your fees and made sure that everything's going to go smooth and get you where you need to go when school is over, when she asks you how your day goes, she kind of deserves to know a little bit about how your day went. And so being thoughtful and being servant-minded and loving our moms, part of loving our moms is saying, yeah, well, this is what happened today, or this is what's going on in my life. And Mom, how was your day? How are you doing? It is so easy for you and I to fall into a pattern of being served, because that's her natural calling from God, is to serve us, to love us. And it's so easy for us just to kind of receive it without getting anything back. Ephesians 4:29 says this, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what's helpful for building others up. Speech, talk, communication, according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And unfortunately, sometimes the people that are closest in our lives, they receive the worst of our conversation. They receive the worst of our words because we take them for granted. And so let's build our moms up. Moms need communication. They need encouragement. Last is this. Sixth is this. Moms need encouragement. Proverbs 31:28 says this. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. So when you praise your mom, when you praise your wife, she fears the Lord, she's worthy of that. Give her the reward she has earned and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. You know what that means? The city gate. It wasn't just an entrance like a doorway you went in and out of. At the city gates where all of community life happened. At the city gate, at that period in history, is where government decisions were made. It's where legal decisions were made. It was where business deals were made. It's where community life happened. And it says, let's praise her in the city gates. Let's acknowledge her and let's recognize her. That's what we're talking about this morning, that moms need encouragement. So, how do we encourage our moms? You know, maybe you've never thought about that. How do I encourage my mom? What do I say to my mom? Maybe you're not in the habit of doing that. This is how you encourage your mom. This is how you encourage the mother of your children. To single moms, and as a community, when we as children say to single moms, you know what? I see the unique challenges that you have. I just want you to know I see it. I respect you for it. For women who have to live like single moms, to be able to say to them, I see the unique challenges that you're facing, and I want you to know it doesn't go unnoticed, and you're doing a great job. Do you know what that does? That validates her on so many levels. For sons and daughters with your mom, when you go to your mom and you ask for advice, do you know what that does? When you trust your mom and you value her wisdom enough and you ask her for advice, do you know what that does? Do you know what that speaks to her? Is that they trust me. They value what I have to say. And that encourages her. If you're a stepdaughter or a stepson, when you go to your stepmom and you ask her for help with something, it could be the smallest thing. It could be help with your homework. It could be, how do I do this recipe? It could be, how do I get this stain out? That communicates to your stepmom, oh, wow. They think I can be helpful. And that encourages her and that validates her. When you have a grandmother, when you have an aunt that's poured into your life and they're older, listen, we live in a culture that discards the elderly. There are cultures around the world that we could learn from that hold their elders, hold that people that are older in high regard, seeing them as, man, they've paid their dues. They have made it to have gray hair. They've made it to this age. And so we really need to respect them. We need to listen to them. They have a lot to say. We need to honor them. We need to spend time with them. We need to be patient with them and sit down with them. Not in this culture. Not in the United States of America. That's not the way we see it. We see people once they get to a certain age. As a culture, we see people once they get to a certain age as, okay, good, all right, you sit in your corner, you do your thing, but the rest of us are going to be busy about making a big country or making a big paycheck or whatever it is that we do. Because we value the amount of productivity, what we can produce, right? But for you and I, grandkids, kids my age, younger, when you see your grandparents, when you go and sit down on the couch with them and your whole goal is just to talk and listen, can't be measured in the heart of your grandmother, can't be measured in the heart of your aunt, that you value them and you seek to find things in common. You go to the store with them. You sit down and have a conversation with them. You work a puzzle with them. You do whatever it is that they like to do. But you spend time with them. Those moments are limited. And they're precious. And you'll never regret them. Husbands, when you go to your wife and you say, I just want you to know that what you do in many ways is 10 times harder than what I do. And I'll get up with the kids tonight. I'll get up with the baby tonight. I'll take that shift. You've just validated her. You've just encouraged her on multiple levels. Moms, what you do is invaluable. Who you are, what you contribute, the investment you make in your children has the potential to change the world. Your investment cannot be overstated and should not be underestimated. Governments and buildings and businesses will rise and fall. What you do has the potential to last forever. So today and every day, let's give our moms the honor and the appreciation and the life and the wisdom and the encouragement that they need. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for our families. I just thank you for these families that stood on this stage this morning. I just beautiful pictures of moms and dads that love you, all walk in different journeys, all with different stories, but love you. Beautiful, beautiful children that have been so blessed to be born into a family of a mom, of a dad that loves them. So God, I thank you for our moms. I thank you for the families that are here that want to honor you, that want to be a blessing. And I pray that you would help us to pause, to think about the person that we probably receive the most from, our moms, the mother of our children, and to think about throughout the year to be intentional about how we can love her, support her, encourage her, pray for her. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Man, we're delighted to have you here this morning. I know we have a lot of guests, and we're just so glad that you chose to come and worship with us. I've got just a couple of announcements to make, and then we're going to take up our offering, and then we hope you have a great Mother's Day. Let me just say this while I'm thinking about it. If you didn't see it as you came in outside on the left, as you go out the doors outside, on your right's a photo booth, okay? So if you'd like to have a picture taken with your family today, just stop by there. We'll be taking pictures. Thank you. Sandra Hall set that up. She's taking our pictures today, so we appreciate her doing that. And so just stop by there on your way out. A couple of announcements this morning. If you take out your handout, there's a couple of inserts in this right here. And I just want to draw your attention to that. One is something we've never done before. All right? It's a survey. So if you'll take this out, I'd really like to hear from teenagers, adults, people of all ages. There's a sermon series that we're going to do in June, and it's called What Does the Bible Say About fill in the blank. If there's a topic that you're like, man, I would love